Jesus said, "Can you not watch with me 1 hour?" You're not going to understand perhaps the emphasis we're going to place in this lesson, but we'll be placing that emphasis in the latter part of the lesson based on the statements in Matthew chapter 26. Would you get your Bible? If you don't have your Bible, pick up that pew Bible and turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. That's a chapter that we know somewhat. We've talked about this passage at other times, but never in the depth that we're going to look at it this morning. Ezekiel chapter 3, we'll look beginning in verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 is where we'll start, and then we'll look at several other verses here in relationship to this. But we are well aware of the fact our gospel meeting starts next Sunday. Next Sunday morning, we'll be assembled here. We'll have a guest speaker, Dan Winkler, one of the really most outstanding speakers in the with ability to communicate the Word of God that I know of on this earth. And our lives will be changed all next week, Sunday through Wednesday. And we've done this every year. We do it in the usually the first week of March, and we're going to do that. And visitors, just so you'll know, it's our special emphasis throughout that week to try to reach out and to touch the lives of others. We try to touch the lives of individuals all the time, but we take that week and really try to put forth a very, very special effort. And so, visitors, so you'll understand what the very nature of this sermon is, to try to stir all of us up to recognize the responsibility. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord comes to Ezekiel and says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, I made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear my mouth, hear the word from my mouth, and give warning from them." The Lord has a message to be given to His people. And he says to Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, here's where you fit in this. Your responsibility is to be a watchman." Now, those of you who are in the military will understand what a watchman's all about. You remember when you were serving in the military, there was a guard that was put out there to protect, and because there might be the enemy that would come at any time. And in Ezekiel's day, it was not a military situation. It was a walled city. And around every aspect of the top of that walls, there were men that were appointed to watch and make sure the enemy was not coming. And so the Lord says to Ezekiel in a figurative way, "Ezekiel, I put you standing on the wall." Now here's what I want you to know. When I say to the wicked, "You shall surely die," and you do not give warning nor speak to warn the wicked man from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquities, but his blood will I require at your hands. God has made individuals watchmen. And as we'll point out in the latter part of this lesson, that's part of where He puts every one of us. He says in the latter part of Mark chapter 13, after you've said to watch, He says, "And what I say to you, I say to everyone." So the concept is, here are lessons to be learned. And here's that man that was appointed to stand on the wall, and he sees the enemy coming. Now, you just imagine that that's your responsibility. Here's the city that needs to be protected, and that's your, and you look out there and you see that enemy perhaps surreptitiously trying to come up and to take the city. And you know it, and you see the others who are with him, and they're well armed, and what do? You just ignore it. You're aware of it, but you just ignore it. You know what's going to happen to that city? That city is going to fall. That wicked man, as used in the illustration here, that individual who's not living right, he's going to die and go to hell. But his blood is on your hands. That ought to stir every one of us up. Now, on the other side, He relieves us of the responsibility. Same situation. You're standing there, you see the enemy coming, and you turn to those in the city and said, "There's an enemy's coming. There's danger that's there." And the people in that city, they just ignore what's going on. Guess what? They're going to die just like the people did in that first illustration. But He says, "Ezekiel, look at your hands. Free from the blood of all men." I want us to spend a few minutes looking in Ezekiel chapter 3. I want you to understand how this chapter begins. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Looking back in verse 1, where in that passage, at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came unto me. Went to verse 17. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. What's he found? Sometimes chapter divisions get in our way, and that's the very situation here. Go back to the previous chapter. Chapter 2, verse 9. I looked, and there was a hand stretched out before me, and there was a scroll of a book was in it. He spread it before me, and there was writing on both sides of it, and on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. And he said, Son of man, eat this book. And Ezekiel eats this book, and it is so sweet. In fact, it says, it was like the honey in the honeycomb. That's in the latter part of verse 3. I ate this book and I loved the taste of it. Now watch out. Isn't that the way we sometimes feel about Bible study? Just like the Lord handed a book to Ezekiel, the Lord has handed a book to us, and he says, eat this. Feed your soul on these things. And you know how thrilling it is to sit in these Bible classes in this very building? Do you know how thrilling it is to have people to tell us these stories and rehearse these things in our mind and touch our lives? And we just sit there, and it is the sweetest thing there is. There's nothing to me. There's no treasure any greater than to be able to find some new truth in the Word of God. We've all done that, have we not? Sat in a class or sat and read the Bible, studying ourselves, and all of a sudden we thought, I never knew that. Wow, that's great. That is so marvelous. It cannot get any better than this. The sweetness of the call of Ezekiel is like the sweetness of the call that we have received. Now, you and I need to understand that sweetness that we have in our lives, we'd like to share it with others. But I put on the screen, you're not in the South Pacific. What do I mean by that? We've got all of those missionaries. We've got the families down in Paraguay. We've got the missionaries out in the South Pacific. Isn't it thrilling to hear Joey or Scott or Robert to come back and talk about what's happening out there? And you sow the seed out there and you see the church growing and you see the kingdom of God being planted. I'll tell you, that is really, really great. To be able to go to a place where people have not heard the message of God and they're hungering and thirsting after it and they obey the gospel. You know, but the Lord says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, that's not where you are. You are not in the South Pacific. Look in verse 5 when he says, for you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language. I've sent you to the house of Israel. Now, had I sent you to these people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand, surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. He said, Ezekiel, if I'd sent you anywhere except to the city of Jerusalem, people would have flocked to hear you preach. And isn't it thrilling sometimes to see a large gathering of those who want to serve God and serve righteousness? You know how blessed our young people are? Many of them, have spent this weekend up in East Tennessee. Listen, with 10,000 other young people. Is that good? Pearl, I don't know if you saw that Bill spoke yesterday to your son spoke to a gathering of 1,000 young people up in Valdosta. In the invitation song, there were 30-something people that responded. Is that good? But the Lord said, Ezekiel, I didn't send you out there. I did not put you in a situation where everybody you're going to talk to is just going to flock to you and say, teach me more and teach me more. In my life, I've had that experience and I understand the joy of being in that kind of situation. But the Lord said, Ezekiel, I didn't send you to the South Pacific. I'm sending you to South Florida. Look at the next verse. You're in South Florida. The house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against them and their face, your forehead against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I've made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech, of hard language. But I have put you in a place where folks are hard-headed and hard-hearted and stubborn. You tried to talk to people about the Lord? Can you identify with what the Lord is telling Ezekiel? They don't have interest in these matters. That's South Florida, isn't it not? Oh, there are some times we run across individuals who are not satisfied with all the things that are out there. But the Lord says to a prophet who is being sent to a hard-headed, hard-hearted people, I've made your head harder than theirs. You know what he's saying? I don't know how to say it any better than this old Alabama way. Don't give up budding them. You understand what I mean? You've seen these antelopes and these animals with large horns that just banging head against head, head against head. The Lord says to His people, you're more hard-headed than they are. Sometimes we think because the receptivity of the truth of the gospel is not as great in South Florida as it is in the South Pacific, we think, well, I just cannot stop it. You know what the Lord says? Ezekiel, you have the message. Now go preach it. Starting in verse 10, he said to him, Son of man, receive into your heart all of my words that I speak to you and hear with your ears. You see the play on words there? Hear it with your heart and hear it with your ears. Folks, Christianity is not some intellectual thing that comes into our ears on a Sunday morning and that's all that impacts our life. If that's what Christianity is, then God help us. The Lord says to Ezekiel, don't just listen with your ears. You open up your heart to me and you receive these things and listen with your heart that you may hear it with your ears. And you go to these hard-headed, hard-hearted captives, to the children of your people, and go to them and say, thus says the Lord, whether they'll hear or whether they will not hear. Then the Spirit of the Lord lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice saying, blessed is the glory of the Lord from His people. And I heard the voice of wings of the living creatures that touch one another and the noise of the wheels beside them and a great thunderous noise. You see, the hard-heartedness of the attitude in which was found in the heart of the people in South Jerusalem is identical to the hard-heartedness of people found in South Florida. But in the background is this glorious nature of God that roars like a thunder. Can you hear that thunder? Can you hear the thunder that magnifies the glory and the grace of our God? Can you hear it? Ezekiel, you cannot just shut your mouth. Look at his response to it. And I'm struggling with his response whenever I read, the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heart of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. It may be that the bitterness that he feels in his heart is the bitterness that's in the message, that he's bitter at the people and what was happening around him. But there's also a possibility that his response was, I really don't want to do this. I just don't feel like doing this. The bitterness that was in my heart, in the heat of my spirit, but God's hand was strong upon me. Forget whatever the cause of the bitterness that you have, Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord is upon you. I came to the captives of Tel Aviv and dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat and remained astonished there 7 days. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I've made you a watchman. Go get on the wall. I know sometimes the frustration of trying to talk to other people about their spiritual life. It used to be you couldn't talk about religion and politics. Now I think you can talk more about politics, but religion is still off the table. But it cannot be. And you and I need to understand that God's charge to Ezekiel is illustrative of the charge that he makes to us. Well, what about the charge that Jesus made to the apostles? Not Ezekiel. But what about the charge that Jesus made to his apostles? He's headed for the cross. He's in Gethsemane. They've sung a hymn. They've left the upper room. And they're in Gethsemane. Now, can you sense the emotion? Can you get out of where you are right now and go to Gethsemane? Can you see Jesus standing there with the 11 apostles? And he says, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. The Son of God, the Creator of the world, His heart is so heavy, it's like He's dying. And He turns to the apostles and says, Watch with me. Do you understand how the word with implies that Jesus Himself was watching? Jesus is ready to say to the apostles in the account in Luke, He says, Watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. He says that in the garden. Guys, He says, there's some real troublesome times that are here. I need you to be a watchman. I need for you to stand beside me and watch. Watch with me. And sense the emotion in your soul. Let your emotions fill the spirit of Jesus as He goes a little farther. He falls on His face. And His soul, His spirit cries out saying, My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done. And He came to His disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Could you, Peter, not watch with me 1 hour? You remember the words that was on the mouth of Peter just a few hours before in that upper room? Lord, if everybody betrays you, I'll stand beside you. And the Lord says, Peter, you don't understand who you are. You don't understand what you are. You don't understand how weak you are. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, there's not a one of them in that room other than Judas who thought it would be them. They all affirmed that they would stand, with Jesus. And they fully understood every aspect of that. There, I'm going to stand with the Lord Jesus. I'm going to stand regardless of what happens. And yet when the enemy comes, Matthew chapter 26 verse 56 says, And they all forsook Him and fled. Can you imagine that? They all forsook Him. Not a one in the upper room. Lord, I will not betray you. And now in Gethsemane, they are all forsaking Him. Every single one of them is forsaking Him. You and I need to understand that the Lord Jesus wants us to stand for Him. For you know not the hour when adversity may come. You never know when it's going to be there. And we say to the Lord, Lord, I will not betray you. There is no way, Lord, that I'm going to betray you. And the Lord says, you don't have a clue what's going on. You don't understand anything about anything. You have no knowledge of it. And yet they forsake him in Gethsemane. Can you not watch with me 1 hour? And the answer is, no, I cannot. David, would you fix this? I thought I could just work that in this sermon. I heard it ringing in my pocket and I thought, what am I going to do? We put that sign up here that says, just hold the off button and it will turn off eventually, David. I tried to be suave with that. Now I want to know who's calling me. I want you to think about it. Lord, I'm with you. Is that you? Who needs to watch? We need to watch for ourselves. But first, we need to watch about Satan. The God of this world, listen folks, the God of this world is winning the minds and the hearts of South Florida. How many years you been here? And where is the level of godliness now compared to where it was 5 years ago? You stop and think about it. We need to watch for Satan. He, as a roaring lion, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. We need to watch for ourselves. Then not a one of them in that upper room said, I'm going to forsake you. I'll be there, Lord, though all men forsake you. I'll never deny my Lord. Are you aware that a month from now you could be away from God? The Lord says, in less than 12 hours, Peter, you'll lose your faith in me. We need to watch for our brothers and sisters who are struggling and weak. You and I need to understand the fact that there are those, our brothers and sisters, who are weak and who are struggling to live right. Do you understand how great this gospel meeting can be to bring them back to the Lord? You think of them. Think of those that you've known in the past, used to sit beside you in this building or in the building before this one. Think about them and they're gone. What a golden opportunity it would be to watch for their souls. The Lord is watching for them, is He not? Is the Lord not watching for Satan? Is the Lord not watching for us? Is the Lord not watching for the weak and for the struggling? And is the Lord not watching for this sinful world that's there? Son of man, Son of God in South Florida, I have made you a watchman standing on the wall. And I've said to the wicked, you'll die. Why do we need to watch? I'll tell you, we need to watch because that's the very purpose God put us on this earth for. I want you to think about that. You were not redeemed to become a Bible student in Bible classes. You were not redeemed primarily for the purpose of singing praises to God. Do you know why the Lord built the church? Our purpose. Every one of us, our purpose is to stand as watchmen on the wall and say to the people of South Florida, the enemy is coming. Prepare to meet God. We need to understand this. That when we do this, we are laborers together with God. We've passed out that booklet 2 weeks ago and said today is the day you need to bring that booklet back saying this, I want to serve God. Laborers together. You and I need to understand that what you do in a minute way in trying to help this church reach out and touch the lives of others, the Lord sees it in the very same way. And you and I need to watch with Him, because the world is lost. It's lost its direction. It's lost its morality. It's lost having godly impact in our society and in our homes and on children. The world is lost. But we'll never evangelize the world until we recognize that the world is lost, listen, and we are lost. Until we stand on the wall and say to the world, what do we need to watch for? Doors of opportunity. God help us to recognize the opportunity we have to pray for this gospel meeting. You want to have a great gospel meeting? You have not because you ask not. Can I appeal to every member of this church, young and old alike? Can I appeal to our visitors? Will you pray to God? Fervently pray to God, not just one time, but fervently make a part of your daily prayer life. God, help this gospel meeting to have an impact on South Florida. Help us to be the watchman on the wall. God, help us. We need to look for opportunities to invite others. They're all around us. Every person you meet can be invited. Isn't that remarkable? And those brochures that are out there, those little cards that are there that have the information about that gospel meeting, opportunities. Where are you going to eat lunch today? Who's going to serve you? Who's going to be at that drive-through window at the when you go through Burger King or Wendy's? Who's going to be there? Somebody who needs to know about God. Opportunities to invite. And then opportunities to serve. Golden opportunities await us. Think in relationship to the very food that we'll eat together. Next Sunday morning after services, we're going to have a fabulous large number, maybe 400 or more, to stay and eat lunch together. We need to bring food for us and for our visitors. Sometimes we think, and I'm not sure how we get to this mindset, that if there's me and my husband or me and my wife and three kids, I'm bringing one little pot of beans and that'll feed the multitudes. I don't mean you have to bring beans and potatoes and okra and corn and cornbread and Krispy Kreme donuts just make a big old pot of beans. Make a big old potato salad. And bring that and let's share that together. And what an opportunity it is to serve people. To get self out of our way and to serve others. Now just as a matter of information, when we're going to clean up next week, areas, Cornerstone Groups 1 and 2 will be responsible for helping clean up that area after Sunday morning services. And then when we eat together at 6 o'clock every night, then Monday night, Cornerstone 3 will be in charge of Monday night, of setting up tables and getting the food ready that we'll be bringing. You can come any night, but Cornerstone 3 especially, we want you to come. And 1 and 2, you can come that night. Just bring your pot of beans with you. And then on Tuesday night, Cornerstone Group 4. Sunday morning, 1 and 2 help with the cleanup. Monday night,
Cornerstone 3, Tuesday night, Cornerstone 4, and Wednesday night when we have our largest number to come and eat, every one of us. Opportunities to serve. What about this? Opportunities to welcome people. Welcome people. We need to go out of our way to make people feel welcome. I have seen on that rare occasion when I thought that God had quit working on this earth, I have even seen some of you, believe it or not, give up that end pew, on that end seat on that pew. When a visitor comes in, instead of making him have to crawl over you and your wife and your two kids and all the rest, I've actually seen families get down and move down the center aisle. You know how welcome that makes somebody feel? You know how welcome it makes somebody to feel for you if they're eating with us? For you, instead of going and talk to your friends, to some brother or sister, somebody that you really enjoy eating with, you go over and sit down with a visitor. You understand how you make folks feel welcome by after services? Instead of just talking to each other, you find some person you haven't met, some person you don't even know, and go and spend some time meeting them and knowing there. Do you understand the impact that it has whenever you make folks feel welcome, whenever we come together and we sing together, and when we have our Bibles open and we're studying the Bible together? Do you understand the impact that it has whenever you look at your watch, and then you look at your watch again, and a visitor sees you look at your watch, and he sees you look at it again, and then he sees you take it off, and you start hitting it this way to think, looks like my watch has stopped. We need to do everything we can to let our members know that we're here to worship God. So important to do that. And then what opportunities it is to lead others to the Lord. Why don't we watch better? Why are we, knowing that we stand on the wall, perhaps knowing that, why do we not do a better job watching? Well, it may be that we've never seen ourselves as watchmen. Jesus said, "What I say to you, apostles, I say to everyone, watch with me. Watch and pray." Some don't watch because they don't want to. It breaks my heart to stand and to know that there are some who are already planning not to be a part of this gospel meeting. Why don't you want to be a part of saying to the God of heaven, "Here I am, use me to touch the lives of others"? And some just don't feel like they have the time to do it. I think about Jesus' statement that says, "Can't you even watch 1 hour with me?" What's wrong? And then there's that attitude, "I'm not good at it, I'll let others do it," content to let others do these things. And then there's just the pressure of life. I know you're working more hours than you used to. I know you're more committed than you've ever been ever in your life. But there are things that are important to which you need to say no, that you can have time to say yes to the things that are most important. I want to ask you something. Where do you think Jesus will be next week? Where do you think he'll be? And wouldn't you want to be where he is above every other thing? That's not said to try to discourage us, but to cause each of us to think soberly about an unbelievable opportunity that lies before us. God help us to pray, to get ready, and to work, and to do everything that we can as watchmen on the wall to say to the world that is lost, there's a Savior, and he'll take you to heaven if you'll let him. God help us. Because you see, some do not see that Satan is winning the battle. What is the spiritual hope for this nation. We're in an army. We have the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith to reach out and to touch those who are lost. But it may be that you want to become a watchman today, like they did in Bible times, if you'll believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you'll repent. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, if you make up your mind, I'm going to follow Him starting today, then when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, you can be immersed in water, buried with Him in baptism, like Les was baptized just last week. Washed away all the sins you've ever committed in His army, and now ready to serve Him. And the Lord will say to all of us, doing that or having done that, don't you let up. Be faithful until the day that you die in order that you might reach heaven. How can we help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?